How many of you rejoice today that there is a God? I like it. We got a few people that are alive in here. You should be, because we're gonna tighten down. It's a great week for the church. It's a great week. How many of y'all know that this week we celebrate the very grace we live and breathe in? The very one. The one. We celebrate Him all week long. Now I know some of you going, hey Rev, it's spring break. It's supposed to snow for 2 days. All right, so it's not about, watch this. It's really about realizing who God is in your life. And this whole week we're going to be doing things that allow you to at least allow God to get your attention. And so I want to tell you a couple of things that are going on. All week long at 12 noon. It's kind of like watching an old Western movie. Woo-woo! At 12 noon. At 12, when? 12 noon. For 40 minutes and 40 minutes only. 40 minutes only. So how can you put conditions on the Holy Spirit like that? Because the Holy Spirit wants you to get back to work. And so for 40 minutes and 40 minutes only, we will be reflecting each day. Each day with a different pastor, be reflecting of what's going on in that day in the week of Jesus' life as He brings grace to us. That starts tomorrow. When?
Noon.
What time?
Noon.
What's usually going on at noon?
Lunch.
We're fasting.
There we go.
Just be there. Be there at noon. Let God speak to you at noon. Then on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night starts this on Wednesday night. Now, I know some of y'all are going to get a little squeamish on me. A lot of y'all ain't man enough to come to this. We're going to wash feet. Foot washing. Some of you go, why do we do that? Well, Jesus did that. I mean, He washed your feet. If you've never had that experience, it'll change your Easter. And so I encourage you to be. Now, listen, even if you're going, there's no way I can do. Watch this. Then I got to say this slowly. Then come and watch the washing of feet. Observe the washing of feet, because there's another part of that service you can connect to, okay? So be on Wednesday night. Thursday night we head to the garden. How many of you all are still aware that you participate in some sinful things? Anybody here do that? Okay, we got half the congregation is sinners. And either half the congregation that's clueless or lying. It's one of the two. But we get our lives, but we need to realize Jesus Christ forgives us of our sin. He has forgiven us of our sin. And then Friday, and I hope you'll be here Friday evening. All of these services are at 6:30. And then we have noonday Bible study. What time are noonday Bible studies? Should be a clue there. Noonday Bible studies.
12.
Good. Okay, that's noon. High noon. We're not going low noon. We're going high noon. And how long will you be in that Bible study?
40 minutes.
Even if Pastor Ayers is teaching that Bible study and he says, wait, I'm about to finish up. What do? You walk out after 40 minutes. Leave him there by himself. Because you got to get back to work. All right, here we go. So that kind of gives you a layout of the week. There's three things I want you to know today. I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 19. Three words I want you to lock into your brain cells today that are going to guide this week, and then they're going to guide next week, and then they're going to guide the week after that in our teaching. First of all, I want you to know you got to be aware of God. The awareness of who? Now, you know, a lot of people are aware of God. I mean, if I was to get with my secular humanist friends, and they're my friends, and in dialogue, they would say, you know, I'm aware that there's a superior force that is beyond me. True? How many of y'all got friends like that? They go, Pastor Ayers, man, I can dig that. There's something beyond myself, i.e. supreme force, i.e., you know, and I believe it or not, I have friends that are really super smart. And I respect their super smartness. And they'll always say, when they go, what about the Big Bang Theory? They always give that, how do you deal with the Big Bang? I said, I deal with it like that. Like this. God said, let there be light. Bang! I don't know. I said, you're the scientist. I'm not concerned about the little parts. I'm concerned who said it. You're concerned how he did it. And so I said, both of us are okay because he said, let there be. Bang! There was. So both of us can be right. And they're aware that they're, because I said, well, let me ask you a question. Who pulled the trigger on the bang? I said, what just made things go bang? Something made it go bang. And they said, so you call that God? I said, well, I personally call it Jesus, who is God. I said, my trigger got a name. He's personal. And they go, well, what difference does that make? I said, because the same God that put creation into motion, the same God that allowed every little bitty molecule to vibrate with creative life, is the same God that lives inside you and me and brings us to heaven. There's some power inside of God that gets inside of you. Hello? See, Tyrone, that's why I like to hear you sing. Because when you sing, I know that Jesus knows you. And all of a sudden, he'll vibrate a note through you. And guess what people will say after you finish singing? They'll go, do you know that guy? I said, man, I've known that guy forever. And they say, well, why does he sing so powerfully? I said, oh. I said, because I know who's in him. So we can be aware of God, right? And there are a lot of people, they think it's cool in America if you're aware of God. Like, well, I'm aware of a supreme force. Well, good. That's a good first step. Now, let me help you logically. How many of you all, if you right now in life had only taken your first step, would have been able to arrive at church today? After you took your first human step, you said, okay, I'm freezing up from here on. How many of you would arrive to this point today? No, you took many other steps. Well, watch this. You got to take so many other steps because here's the second thing I want you to know the next 3 weeks. God will get your attention. Oh! Now, y'all better hold on your seats today. You better put some harnesses on. Because I'm going to tell you some things that a lot of you are going to have a hard time dealing with. Because we got this Mary Poppins God out there. And that's not the one of the Bible. Now, that's the one that people like to hear about because it's false. God will get our attention. God's getting our attention right now. He's getting our attention right now. For the past 24, 36 months in American culture, guess what I've heard about? Everything's a crisis. We got a family crisis. We got an economic crisis. We got a national crisis. We got a college crisis. We're out of Fruit Loops. It's a crisis. Everything is a what? Let me give you the greatest crisis I know. Without Jesus Christ, human beings are going to hell. Now that's a crisis. That's a crisis. What is this? Not having retirement, that is not a crisis. Now, I don't like it any more than you do, but I got to tell y'all something. God spanked me the other day. I had to quit listening to the news. I mean, I'm telling you, I was getting insane. I was in there by myself. I got socks and stuff, and I throw stuff at the TV, and I say stuff to the TV that I should not be saying. I shouldn't say it. It's not stuff I'd say in here. And if I can't say it in here, I shouldn't say it to the TV, right? Have y'all ever said stuff to the TV? Yeah. Elizabeth stuck her head in the room. She said, do you know how stupid you sound? I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do I land? She said, 12. And I said, well, honey, you just don't understand. She said, no, you don't understand. They can't hear you in there. I said, how do you know the government hadn't placed little devices in those TVs and they can really hear it? No, I really don't believe that. I'm joking. Or am I? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just messing with you. God will get our attention. And here's the third thing I want you to know. When we become aware of God and God gets our attention, he brings us to the experience of his atonement. And I want you to see that rhythm. All week long, we're walking toward God's atonement to humanity. That's a big theological word that means this. God was willing to die so we could live. God was willing to die so we could what? So here's what I want you to know. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you just watch 3 beautiful baptisms. Guess what? Every one of those baptisms said, I'm going to live. Man, it was beautiful last week. Big old linebacker comes up here. You know what he says? I'm going to get saved. Now, guess what? He walked up here. Marquise, guess what? You didn't walk up here. God brought you up here.
Amen.
You met somebody bigger than you. Guess who it is? Jesus Christ. Now, hold on. You'll get a God when he gets bigger than you. I've sat with some of my other folks through therapy sessions, and they all said they needed to get a God of their own understanding. And I said, well, that ain't much of a God if I can understand him. I need a God beyond my understanding. I need a God that can take me out of Egypt when I can't get out by myself. I need a God that can split the Red Sea when it looks like life is over. I need a God that can take an ordinary piece of wood and tap the rock and the water come forth. And I need a God that calls me to the mountain, that holy mountain, and said, here's the way to live like no other but my people. We're at that mountain today. 3 months or so have gone by out of Egypt, out of the deliverance of Egypt. And God has brought his people to a place and he said, now I'm going to reform you so that you may understand you are my what? People. I mean, here's what I want you to know is in this room today. It's not just people that have showed up to come to church. How many of y'all just show up to go to church? Watch. This is not going to get you anywhere. Well, I went to church Sunday. Well, good. So did the devil. I got one guy here that's got perfect attendance. Satan. He's been here since we opened up March the 10th, redesigned the whole place. Satan been here every Sunday trying to get up on somebody saying, hey, don't listen to that. Don't do that. Stay in Egypt. But God wants you to live. How many of y'all convinced God wants you to live? Now watch these three principles fall out. Three truths. God is there. Be aware of him this week. Look at here. God reminds Moses, remind the people, I'll always be there. Third verse, 19th chapter, Exodus. Then Moses went up to God. Hello? How do we go? We go what? Up. How many of y'all glad to know that this week is about up, not down? It's the rhythm of the Bible. You got to go what? Up. Got up. How many of y'all glad you headed up? If we were the people of Israel and we were going to the temple, guess what? We'd be worshiping in an upward motion. We'd walk up the steps of that great temple and we'd hear the Levitical priests. They'd be out there with their horns sounding like Kenny G, blowing praises unto his name. We would have washed ourselves and we're headed where? Up to see who? Absolutely. How many of y'all realize we're headed up? Now let me show you how powerful it is. Even when you're down, Jesus is bringing you up. Even when you think you're in neutral, God's bringing you forward. Heaven is awaiting and you don't need to miss it. God talking to his people. He says, Moses, come up here. Why could God invite Moses to the mountain? Two leading factors. He made the mountain. It was his mountain and he's God. He does the inviting. Now I know some of you have been caught up by the 1980s big hair theological movement, where we said we were all going to go seek God. Baloney. The reason we don't seek God, he's not lost. He's not mislocated. You and I are. Now let me give you some better news. God seeks us. Who texted Moses? Moses didn't text God. God what? By the way, God was the first texter out there. After Easter, we're going to talk about God's first text message. He had 10 things on there. He probably tweeted because it was less than 140 characters. Right? It's Twitter. Don't tweeter. You know, that word doesn't sound right anyway. You know that? If you're from the South, you ought to not call stuff like that. I'm not even going there. I'm staying in the text. You got to be aware of God. Moses was more than aware of God. God spoke to Moses. Now, hold on. Don't freak out about that. God still speaks to you. If we listen. But God still speaks even when we don't listen. How many of you all found God has let you be stubborn and do what wouldn't work? How many of you all ever found that true? Yeah. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. God, first of all, reminds Moses who he is. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said. Now, this does not freak Moses out. Because think about it. Moses has heard talking bushes, burning bushes. By now, what's a talking mountain? After you've seen the Red Sea parted, then mountains can talk. Hold on, I got something to add on to this. Once you encounter God's impossible, it's easier to believe it the next time. Make sense? Doc, I'm sure the first time you saw God go out of the medical book and do something he wasn't supposed to do, the second time you went as a medical doctor, well, now this is the way it's supposed to happen, but God can do anything he wants. Make sense? I've seen God do that. We had a healing when I was a younger pastor. Man, I can't believe I have to say that now. When I was a younger pastor, this lady had an aneurysm. We had a great doctor. He's a Jewish doctor. Wonderful, beautiful guy. He was the expert in the field. He looked at me and he said, she's going to die. I said, oh. I said, Doc, this is going to sound like we've lost our mind. But the Bible says we to go anoint her with oil, we go to pray over her. That's all I knew. I didn't know how that was going to work. He said, listen, you can do whatever you want to. He said, she's going to be dead in the morning. And he said, aren't you supposed to not give false hope? And everything that I was trained to do as a professional pastor entered my head. Don't give the family false hope. This is really serious. It's got to be. And I said, you know, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, anoint her with oil and pray over her. And then finally, God said, hey, listen, she believes in me. Whether she lives or dies, she's healed. And I went, you're right. And God said, that's why they call me God. You know what? She woke up the next morning healed, and guess who was the most surprised? Me. How you glad to know that God will work faithfully even when his faithful are wondering if it's going to happen? I was down in the chapel of that hospital just, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, Jesus. They thought I was a Pentecostal preacher. One of the Catholic priests came in and he goes, why are you so happy? I said, it worked. And not it worked, God works. Amen? Now God gets his attention. Look at here. He gets his attention. Here's what I want you to know. Don't make this a story of long ago. Make this a 21st century story. God's still talking to us. He says, Moses, remember. And he tells him, look at this. This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. What did God do to Egypt? Well, not the whole place. We know this. So you got to be detailed on what God destroyed. He destroyed the army that was pursuing Israel. Yeah. Now, I know some of you all right now have got a problem. Problem just went up in your head. You said, how could a loving, merciful God kill people? Because he can. This is where y'all better grow up with God. This isn't the first set of people that God has killed. Y'all remember the flood? Apparently God didn't have a problem. He sought out for year after year after year, and he told all the people to what? Repent, 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 repent. What did Moses tell them? Not Moses, Noah. Noah told them, it's going to be a great flood. And they said, they laughed at him, they ridiculed him. The days were evil and wicked, and they drowned in the evil and wickedness of their ways. Here's what I want you to know. There is a consequence. And we don't seem to have one anymore. We seem to like, watch this. When you do what God asks you not to do, there's always trouble. How many of y'all have found that to be true? You violate a God principle, what's going to happen? Now, young people, I want you to hear me. There's a way not to get divorced. Marry the right one first round. Now, girls, you know like when you go out on a date and the Holy Spirit's going like this. No! Let me help you. That's a good indication this is not God's will. And so the more you come to the altar and say, God, would you straighten him up? God, would you do this? Would you make him workable for me? Guess what God's going to say? No. Because he goes, that's not the one for you. Now, men that need to be straightened up, men like myself, God calls on women like Elizabeth and says, in heaven you will have great reward, but for now you must suffer a little while. So you never know what your calling's going to be, amen? You never know. Be careful. They went against the Egyptians. God took care of the Egypt problem. He set them free. Now, he didn't annihilate all the Egyptians, but he did annihilate the Egyptians that opposed his people. It's a bad thing to go against God's people. For me personally, I think both sides of it. I don't think you need to mess with Israel, and I don't think you need to mess with the people that have been grafted into Israel. Have you noticed? Who's everybody want to mess with? Israel and who else? Christians. That's the only two people you can talk about. Lord, have mercy. If you talked about Islam like you did Christianity, they would be throwing tents or tantrums every day. But for some reason, you can talk about Christianity and you can talk about Judaism and the people should not be offended. You know why? What's going to happen? You're going to evoke a real God. And so I want you all to be on the right side of life. Amen. You got to decide what you're going to believe. Look at here. It's very amazing. There's principles with God. He said, now look what I've done. He said, I carried you on eagle's wings. You yourselves, you've seen what I've done to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to my what? How many of y'all realize this whole week is about God? Betty Lois, isn't it about God bringing us to what? Himself. How many of y'all glad to know God wants to hang out with humans? Man, that excites me. God wants to hang out with humans. And he brings humans to what? Yeah. That's the story of the gospel. Jesus came to us to bring us to God. And then here's the way we want to mess it up. Well, I'm seeking God. You're never going to understand all of God. I don't care how smart you think you are. We got some smart people in this church. We got people that create stuff that's unimaginable. We got people that have done stuff that's unimaginable too. We're a creative bunch, but none of us is created as God. Let God do his thing. Let God save you. He brought them out. He brings us out. Look at here. So God got their what? Attention. And here's what he said. Now if you obey me fully and keep my command, my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Who said that? God. When I was in Israel a couple months ago, it was interesting. I was talking to some of my Jewish friends and they said, you know, Ayers, it's a little rough to feel chosen when you've been beat up on by every nation in existence for the past 1900 years. I said, all I can tell you is what he said. He said, you're it. And he said, why do you think the Lord chose us? I said, I have no idea. I said, I don't know why he chose me. I don't know why he chooses, but I don't focus on that. I'm glad that he does. Aren't you? I'm glad that he does. And he goes on, Nathan, look at this. He said, you're going to be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summons the elders of the people and sat before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. Hold on, I want to park there just for a minute. How many of y'all are doing everything the Lord has said? Work with me here. How many of y'all doing the things the Lord has said? Why are y'all staring at me like that? You want me to loosen it up a little bit? I can't, because who said it? The Lord. Let me advance us. How many of you have discovered when I do what the Lord says, life changes? Is that real? When I do what? Now, how many of you all sometimes get mixed up what you say and the Lord says and you think they're the same thing? You know, I always notice this. Back when I was dating a long time ago in the ancient world before there were cell phones, the Lord never led me to look at an unattractive girl, according to my mind. In fact, one time, this is awful. I was awful. I told Elizabeth that it was the Lord's will that we break up. And it really wasn't. It was what? Because what? I've been peeking around. But watch, for some reason, it felt better to be sinful and holy at the same time. Here's what I want to encourage y'all to do. If you're just going to be an outright sinner, don't quote Bible verses. Just sin. That way you know where you stand. Y'all met people that like how many of y'all ever been in one of these groups where they get prayer requests, but they're really gossip sessions? You know, we want to pray for sister so-and-so. We saw her car parked at so-and-so's house. And it was there last night and it was still there this morning. So we don't know what they're doing, but we want to pray for it. Well, now that's not a prayer request. That's a gossip. It's not a prayer request. Make sense? Don't do that kind of stuff. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and what? Body. And God will bring you forward. Look at here. God got their attention. And they said, we're going to do what the Lord said. I'm going to blow y'all away. Let me just take one thing the Lord said. This one's real easy. That's why I'm going to take it. Straight up math. The Lord said for the church to give 10%. I know now some of y'all disagree with me. Y'all are great theologians now. And you've said, well, I'll tell you what. That's an Old Testament teaching. And we have a spirit in Jesus who is free that does not have a percentage requirement. You're right. He said, give it all. That'll put you back in the Old Testament real quick. Now watch this. God had a 10% requirement. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. If we in this church, we don't do what the Lord says. Come on, we got to be honest where we are to get better. If we had all given 10%, guess what would happen to that building right now? It'd already be paid off. Now watch this. See, here's what I want you to understand. We have locked down the potential of the kingdom of God. Hear the angels? They're agreeing with me right now on this one. Now y'all going to think I'm radical, and I am radical. Put me on YouTube. If the church had been tithing its 10% for the last 100 years, the church wouldn't need to be worrying about national health care because it had its own. And then we'd have had a government when it started to slide apart. Guess where that government would have turned to? The church. And it would have asked the church, how are you all able to take care of your people? Well, you got to understand, we're kind of under a little different government than you are. We are people that have been made by God, so we're sustained by God. And this is what God asked us to do. In the power of God, God can operate on 10% of your income and bless the world. Now, if you look into government structures, there's not a government in the world that can do that. I'd be okay if I only had to pay 10% of my income in taxes. How many of y'all would be happy with that? Look how happy you all are about that. Y'all going, oh gosh, yeah. Watch this. That works for God because we're God's people. Watch it. I'm just using this as an illustration. I'm not preaching on tithing right now. But here's the deal. If you think you're going to stand before the Lord and have been tipping God a quarter every once in a while and feel real justified that on your faith, then guess what? I am here to tell you, wake up. Come on, it's about loving God somewhere down the line. You know, I preach it straight because I believe it works. I wouldn't preach this stuff to you if I didn't believe it worked. I believe God is seeking you and He's drawing you. And guess what they decided to do? What the Lord said. I'm coming to a point here. Are you ready to do what the Lord said to do? I want you to think about that all the week long. Because guess what? There's two people in this week you will decide to be. Either a believer
or not.
It's close, Tyler. You're on. I'm with you. Give me five. That'll work too. But I'm going to put another B word in there. Are you okay with that?
Okay.
You'll be a believer or a betrayer. Isn't that what falls out in the drama of Holy Week? And guess who betrayed? Those that were closest to Him. They looked like a follower. They talked like a follower. They wore clothes like a
follower.
They even knew other
followers.
They went to follower Torah study on Saturdays. They ate follower food, but they weren't, guess what, Nathan? When the heat came down, they were unable to do what the Lord said. And then here's what the Lord told Moses, and we finish up right here, verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come down to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their what? Clothes. Why? And be ready by the third day. Hello! What are we waiting for all week long this week? Third day. Don't tell me this is not the same God. The God of the First Testament's the same God of the Second Testament, because guess when the big happening is? Third day. So I hope this week you're going to be able to do a couple things. First of all, be aware that God is around. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, let Him get your what?
Attention.
Guys, every one of you, all three of you that were baptized, thank you for allowing God to be a witness through you today. You know why baptism's important? It's what Jesus said to do as a witness. It's no better witness. And I'm tired of arguing about these kind of things. People go, well, I don't think baptism's important. I said, you know what? God don't care what you think. Some of y'all need to hear that. God could care less what you think. He doesn't take a vote. Let me ask you a question. Did God say, Moses, come up here, bring the people up here, and we're going to take a vote on the mountain? That tells you Southern Baptists are not in the Bible. I used to laugh at the Southern Baptist Convention. They give you these pink cards. That ticked me off from the beginning. I don't like walking around pink. Look a little sissy to me. I mean, get you some black and gray cards if you're going to man up. You know what I mean? Or some red and black cards. You get on the red side or the black. You know, pink! Pink! I'm a part of the Barbie denomination. Come on! We had these little pink cards. And the brother moderator would stand up and say, now the four recognizes and commences this whatever meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. We have proposal 405-666 on the floor. 6667, so it doesn't sound so bad. I don't know why that flew out. End on those three numbers. Huh. Now, some of you have been to these meetings with me. And we take a vote on what the Bible says. Now, let me show you what God's doing in heaven. Do you think God's going to change the Word of God because 51% of the people of the Southern Baptist Convention don't believe it's so?
And they won't go to Disney World.
Yeah, do you think God really cares whether we go to Disney World or not? Do you think that's an important issue on His covenant? This is the God that split the Red Sea, the God that gave the Ten Commandments, the God that sent Jesus Christ and raised Him from the grave, and Disney's our number one issue. What about the God that says all people have the hope of salvation in Jesus? That's the God I want you to anchor in. Be aware, He's here. Let Him get your attention. What do you need to hear? And then let the atoning grace of God bring you in to do what God says do. Amazing. And guess what you'll be able to sing? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And save a wretch like me. Modern verses. How sweet the sound that somebody is messed up is me. could be found by the Jesus who seeks me. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all ready? How many of y'all ready? Some of y'all ready to get saved today? We got some people ready to get saved today? Huh? There's some people ready to get saved today. Watch this. Y'all going to see people get saved today. Now, how many of y'all going to start praying that way? Or y'all going to start thinking about McDonald's right now? McDonald's ain't going to save nobody. It'll kill you. So will Burger King before you start smiling. No, it's not about that. It's about somebody going to meet Jesus today. Number two. Let God be real in your life. And this week, let's just ask God to teach us. Amen. I wish I did everything He said. I don't. But I have found this. You got to be corrected. You know what? I had to get away from the news. And I want to apologize to y'all and I want to fess up and I want to get it right. I was having some news leaks during sermon. I get wound up about what's going on. You know what God spoke to me? He said, I'm in charge. No matter what goes on in this world, I'm in charge. You know what else He let me know? Is that He's been God before there's an America. And I always like to push Him. Because I wanted to find out if there was after an America. And guess what He told me? None of my business. But then He told me my business. He said, I thought you were supposed to tell people good what? How many of y'all willing to tell good news? That's the gospel. Good news. Absolutely, Steve. How many of y'all ready to talk about some good news? I'll give you the number one crisis in my mind today. Some of y'all are going to hell because you haven't let Jesus bring you to life. That's a big crisis. Because I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you got. I don't care what your reputation is. I don't care what your social status is. If you don't have that connection, you'll split hell wide open. And guess what? I don't even care if you believe there's a heaven or hell because it believes you're there. Yeah, reverse the question. Do you believe in the devil? What if the devil believes in you? I don't want anybody to go to hell. It's a nasty place. And I don't tell you about hell because to scare you, I tell you about hell because it's a reality. I know it's not popular in the 21st century. I even got my colleagues say, Ayers, you talk about hell too much, people will leave your church. I said, let me let you in on this big theology. I don't care. I said, you all want a church of a bunch of deceived people? What benefit is that? What benefit is that? Huh? Let God bring you to heaven. Amen. He'll talk to you on the mountain. Aware. Attention. Atonement. Amen. So in the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want you to pray with me now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus. You are wanting great and mighty works done. And Lord, we need to repent where we need to repent. And Lord, I ask anybody here today, listen, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I just want to talk to you. Let God speak to you more than anybody. More than anybody. In the name of Jesus. Tell Him, Lord Jesus, I want Your forgiveness. Come into my what? Life. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you. You see, Pastor, right now I'm having a hard time believing this. This prayer helped me. Lord, help me with my disbelief. Show Yourself, Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my what? Sin. I believe You died on the cross. You rose from the grave. You heard three baptisms that recognize that today. So I want to open the altar up right now for anybody that feels like the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to you and you want to come and talk about what does it mean to live in faith. Don't leave here without that deal. If you need to be baptized, several of you have received Jesus Christ. You hadn't been baptized yet. Easter is a big day of baptism here at Hillview. So guess what? But you need to let us know you want to be baptized. Not that we wouldn't baptize you, but we need to know how many we got to baptize. So you need to let us know, hey, I'm in. I want to provide that testimony because Jesus has saved me. We trust Jesus on that. Some of you need to come and just be healed today. Amen. You need to come and be healed. So let me pray. Lord, You know everything that's gone on in this room and You love us. That's amazing. But Lord, I ask You that You draw the altar forward today. Father, You deliver us of stuff that's held us back and You bring us to the things that need to bring us life. So God, as this altar opens and unfolds and people come to pray, May we pray together, reason together, love together, live together, and may the Holy Spirit hold us together in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, may we be delivered. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, church. This altar's wide open. Come on. Come on. We got people coming. Come on. Let God touch you. Let Him save you. Let Him love you. Come on, in the name of Jesus.